I'm turning for my message today to the book of Isaiah. Now, I'd like very much if you would take your Bibles, if you're in a convenient place, like at your table or in the living room or den, take your Bibles and open them to the Isaiah chapter 50. And here's my subject today. The Redeemer describes himself. You said, "Preacher, you're going to talk about Jesus Christ, our Redeemer?" Yes, sir. "And you're going to tell how that He describes Himself?" Yes, sir. "Why don't you turn to the New Testament, the book of John or Matthew, one of those books?" I'd rather turn to the Old Testament. Because, you know, some people say the book of Isaiah is the gospel of the Old Testament. And the book of Isaiah is quoted many, many, many times in the New Testament. For example, in John 12:41, it says, "When Isaiah saw His glory, the glory of Christ, he spake of Him." When he saw the glory of Christ. You know in Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up on a throne, His train filled the temple, and the seraphims cried, "Holy, holy, holy." Do you know that's Christ? Every Old Testament revelation of God is Jesus Christ. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham and others, that's Christ. These men had a pre-incarnation view of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah saw His glory and spake of Him. And then Matthew 1:21, when the angel told Joseph that Mary was with child and would bring forth a son, he said, "You call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And this is in order that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, who said, A virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, God with us." That's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And then in Luke, the 4th chapter, when our Lord Jesus Christ came to the town of Nazareth, where He was brought up, and as His custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And they delivered unto Him the Scriptures. Now, that's the Old Testament, 39 books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi. They delivered the Old Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ to read. That's all the Bible there was at that time. This was before the cross, before our Lord died. Where did He turn in the Bible to read? Here He is, the Messiah, who has come home. The whole synagogue filled with unbelieving religious people, questioning Him and so forth. And what did He read? Isaiah. Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captive, to set at liberty them that are bruised, give sight to the blind, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Isaiah 61. When He spoke concerning His messianic work, He turned to the book of Isaiah. Why shouldn't I? And then in the 8th chapter of Acts, there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was a powerful, influential man with the Ethiopian government under the queen of Ethiopia. And he'd been to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, having received nothing from those feast and Pharisees in Jerusalem. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the Scriptures. And God sent a preacher by the name of Philip to him. And where do you suppose he was reading? Isaiah. Isaiah 53. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we're healed." What an important lesson that you need to learn, and I need to learn, and everybody needs to learn, and so difficult to learn. So difficult. Hear people calling themselves New Testament Christians. That mean you don't read the Old Testament? You don't believe the Old Testament? All scriptures reveal, declare, and point to Christ from Genesis to Revelation. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says this, and I'll tell you this, my friends, in the New Testament, when you read the word scriptures, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, He died for our sins according to the scriptures, He rose according to the scriptures, that's the Old Testament they're talking about. And Acts 10, 43 says, to Him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness. Our Lord, when the Pharisees said, well, we have Moses, He said, Moses wrote of me. If you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me. He wrote of me. Oh, they said, Abraham's our father. He said, if you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham. Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it and was glad. Abraham looked to Christ. John 5, 39, our Lord speaking to the religious rulers, and He said, you search the scriptures. That's the Old Testament. You search Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the Psalms. You search the scriptures. In them you think you have life, but they are they which testify, witness of me. When He opened the understanding of the apostles and taught them the scriptures, He said, all things which are written in Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me must be fulfilled. Christ is the key of knowledge. He's the key to and of the Old Testament scriptures. And I'm going to give you a candid illustration of that now. Turn with me to Isaiah 50, the 50th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50, and here we have the Redeemer describing Himself. Now, I know that Isaiah 50 is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You read it, and you'll see Christ set forth all the way through Isaiah 50 in His person, in His deity, in His glory, in His success, in His sufferings, and in His work, all the way through this chapter. But to show you that the chapter is talking about Christ, I'm going back to chapter 49, read the last verse. Now, you know the Bible, when it was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, wasn't divided into chapters and verses. That was done later by the translators. The Bible in the original language was written as the books are, as a book or a letter and paragraphs. And so the last sentence in chapter 49, before we move into chapter 50, this is what it says in the last verse of chapter 49. I, the Lord, am thy Savior. I am thy Redeemer. I, Jehovah, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Who is that? Well, that's Christ. We only have one Redeemer. We only have one Savior, and that's Christ. And He says, that's who I am. And then in verse 6 of chapter 50, He says, I gave my back to the scourge. Our Lord Pilate delivered Him to be scourged, delivered Him to the soldiers. I gave my cheeks to them that plucked out the hair. I hid not my face from their shame and spitting. And verse 7, read that in the light of Luke chapter 9. He set His face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He said, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He must be crucified. He must be lifted up. And He must be buried and rise again. Our Lord died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And my friends, I take the Old Testament Scriptures and preach Christ in order that you may take the other Scriptures throughout the Old Testament and find Christ. That's why I'm doing this. I want you to see how that Christ is that rock, and Christ is that brazen serpent lifted up, and Christ is the tabernacle, and Christ is our Passover, and Christ is that ark which Noah made, delivered the people from the wrath and judgment of God. And Christ is that great high priest who goes into the Holy of Holies and makes atonement. All the way through the Old Testament, it's Christ on every page. Now here in chapter 50, just take your Bible and sit comfortably with it, and let's look at the first two verses. And here our Lord says in the first two verses, the Lord says, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement whom I have put away? Now, in these first two verses, what our Lord's dealing with here, He's talking about His rejection. He is despised and rejected of men. Everybody who was anybody turned thumbs down on Him. He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own people, and they received Him not. And this is what He's saying. Now, He's facing these religious people, and He says, "Where's the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I put away?" What's He talking about? Well, when a man divorced his wife, he must give her a paper declaring that he has forsaken her. It's called a bill of divorcement. Our Lord referred to it over in the New Testament. And what He's saying here to these religious people, He says, you have no such bill. You have no such bill. You have no such bill at all to declare I forsook you. I didn't forsake you. You forsook me. That's what the Lord's saying. And He says in the next line, to which of my creditors have I sold you? What does that refer to, Pastor? Well, when a man back in the Old Testament got so heavily in debt that he could not pay his bills, they did this. They could sell their children into servitude or slavery and discharge their debt. And what our Lord is saying to these religious people, He said, I don't have any creditors. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold and silver that hasn't been mine. I owe no man. I owe no one. Here's the truth of the matter. He goes on, He says, for your sins you sold yourself. For your transgressions are you put away. I didn't put you away. You turned your back on me. That's what He's saying. Man's ruin lies at his own door. Now, this is an important point that I'm trying to make here. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying concerning His rejection, concerning the fact that men despise Him and reject Him. He's saying your ruin lies at your own door. And this is what few people will acknowledge. They won't acknowledge that we're guilty. He said, look at the next verse, 2. I came and no man answered, no man believed. He said, I called and no man answered. He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. I called, I came, no one believed, no one answered. Sinners are to be blamed. My friends, our ruin and our condemnation is our own fault. God is not to be blamed for our condemnation. God is not to be blamed for our condition. And this is a proper setting for seeking the Lord. Here is where seeking the Lord begins. Here's a proper attitude for seeking the Lord. And it's the only basis, a foundation on which a man can truly seek the Lord, is admitting that his guilt is his own responsibility. That his sin lies at his own door. That God's not obligated in any shape, form, or fashion. You see, that's what David said in Psalm 51, my sins are ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be just when thou condemnest and clear when thou chargest. You see, the Canaanite woman who found mercy with the Lord, she came to Him, she said, Lord, have mercy on me. He said, answered not a word first. She said, have mercy on me. And He said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She still didn't leave. She said, have mercy on me. He said, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. And she made this statement, that's true, Lord. That's true. But dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that's what our Lord's pointing out right here. You don't have a bill of divorcement. I don't have any creditors to which I'm so obligated that I had to desert you. I called and you didn't answer. I came and you didn't believe. Your ruin and condemnation and condition is your own fault. And if you receive any help, it'll be by God's mercy and God's grace, not by merit and not because you deserve it or earn it. That's where we start. Stripped, broken, smitten, slain at the back door of mercy as a beggar seeking the mercy of God. Now in verse 2 and 3, our Lord declares His deity and power. Now He says, look at the next line there. Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Have I no power to deliver? In other words, does the unbelief of man, does that alter the power and purpose of God? Is anything too hard for me, he said. When preachers today describe man, they make him to be more than he is. Did you know that? And when preachers today describe God, they make him to be less than he is. I want, when I preach, to make man to be exactly what he is, a willful, guilty sinner. And I want to preach God as he describes himself. He said, is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Have I no power to deliver? When the Lord God describes himself, he declares his majesty, his power, and his sovereignty. He said to Moses, Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He said, hath not the potter power over the clay? Can I not do with my own what I will? And then in that verse 3, he said, I dried up the Red Sea. When you talk about God, why don't we talk about him as he is? Why does people keep talking about God wants to do this and God wants to do that and God's trying to show you this and trying to show you that and God would be happy if you do? He said, I dried up the Red Sea and my people walked through on dry land. And then I closed the doors of the sea and drowned the whole army. He said, I made the river Jordan into a wilderness. He said, I clothed the heaven with blackness. He said, I covered the sun with sackcloth. Is my hand shortened that I can't redeem? If I can dry up a sea, can I not redeem a sinner? If I can turn a river into a wilderness, Cannot put away a man's guilt? When the Redeemer describes himself, he does not speak as men speak of him. He declares, I can redeem, I can deliver, I have spoken, I will bring it to pass, I've purposed it. He said, I'll do it. I'll do it. He said, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. My friends, the Bible knows nothing of a doormat named Jesus. Bible knows nothing of a pitiful, sad, frustrated, defeated reformer and fire escape from hell named Jesus that wants you to do this, that, and the other, and he has no power to influence you at all. That's not our God. That's not the way he describes himself. He said, I came and you didn't believe. I called and you didn't answer. But my hand's not shortened that it can't save, I'll tell you that. Because you didn't answer and because you didn't believe and your condemnation lies at your door, that doesn't mean that my purpose is defeated. I can deliver just like I dried up that sea. I can deliver just like I turned that river into a wilderness. I can deliver just like I turned that sun off and made the heavens black. And I can deliver and cover a man's sin just like I covered the sun with sackcloth. I can do it. And then in verse 4, the Lord Jesus describes his prophetic office. He says in verse 4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. No man spake like this man spake, because he's God. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, weary, I'll give you rest. He has a word for the weary. He has a message of grace for the miserable. He has good news for the guilty. Are you familiar with the scripture which teaches the threefold office of Christ? Are you familiar with Christ's office? You know, in the Old Testament, we have a prophet, priest, and king. And no Old Testament believer ever held all three of those offices. David was a king, and Aaron was a priest, and Moses was a prophet. No man ever held all three of those offices. They're all types of Christ. But see, our Lord, that's his office threefold. He is king, typified by David. He is priest, better typified by Melchizedek, a priest forever. than Aaron. And he is that prophet like Moses. You know, God said through Moses, I'll raise up a prophet from among the brethren like unto you. Him shall you hear. And all that hear him will be delivered. So watch this now. Here's the threefold office. As king, our Lord Jesus reigns by decree, by design, and by death. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And by his death, he died that he might be Lord of the dead and the living, both by design, decree, and death. As priest, he redeems his elect. It says, by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And our Lord Jesus entered not the holy place made with hands, but heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us and to offer an atonement. But as prophet, now here's what he's calling himself here in verse 4 of Isaiah 50. He said, I'm a prophet. The Father hath given me the tongue of the prophet, the tongue of the learned. And as a prophet, he reveals God. Now watch it. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now, brother man, there are a lot of religions on this earth. Yes, that's right. A lot of cults and sects and denominations and divisions and religion. Well, now, they all claim to worship God, Allah, supreme being, man upstairs, whatever they call him. You're saying that no human being on this earth knows anything about the God of heaven, the living God, the eternal creator, except those who know Jesus Christ and believe him and have heard him? That's exactly what I'm saying. And that's what this Bible says. That's what the Bible says. You see, he's that prophet. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He that heareth me heareth my Father. The words that I speak are not the words of a mere man, but the words of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, man can have an idea of God. He can have a false conception of God. He can have a drawing or an idol or a statue or a thought in his mind about what he thinks God is like. But your thoughts are not God's thoughts, and your ways are not God's ways. But there's no way for a man to know God, and eternal life's to know God. There's no way for any human being to know God, to commune with God, or to come to God, or worship God, except as he knows, hears, worships, and loves, and believes, hears the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? That's what the Word of God's saying. Now, throw your Bible out the door if you don't believe that. Be an honest man. Don't just take what you want to take. You've got to take all of what Christ said or nothing. Look at John 5:24. Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that hears me, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. He that believeth not on the Son will never see life, will never be resurrected in glory, will never be in heaven. That's just so. Christ is the way. Other foundation can no man lay this lay. When he appeared on this earth, the Father spoke and said, this is my Son. Hear him. And God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us only in his Son, only by his Son. That's what he said. Only. And you can hear all the voices you want to hear. But if you don't hear Christ, you don't hear God. That's so, my friend. Look at verse 5 through 7. The Redeemer declares his submission to the Father's will and his suffering for sin. I'm telling you what Scripture says, and you know I'm telling you what Scripture says because you're familiar with these Scriptures. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was spoken to us first by our Lord and then confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness by miracles, signs, and wonders? That's the apostles who brought his message on after he ascended back to the Father. The Lord God hath bored my ear. That's what the prophet said. I was not rebellious. I didn't turn back. Lo, he said, I come to do thy will, O God. This boring of the ear is what they did to a bond slave. When a man had served his 7 years in the Old Testament, he could go free. But if he'd say, I love my master, I love my master's house, I don't want to go free, I want to be a slave, then they bored his ear and he became a bond slave, willing, loving servant. He's there because he wanted to be there. And that's what our Lord says here. My father bored my ear. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to those that pluck out the hair, my face to those that spit. He willingly took our sins. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stain. I set my face like a flint. I shall not be ashamed. I shall not fail. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The Redeemer declares his success. He said, he's near that justifieth me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is my adversary? Can any stay my hand? Oh, how great is our Redeemer. How great is our Lord. Now, in the closing two verses, he set forth two classes of people. He said, you among, who is it among you that fears God, that obeys the voice of God's servant, that walks in darkness, has no light? Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God. And then the other group, but he said, all ye that kindle your own fire, walk in the light of your own fire, your own righteousness, you'll lie down in sorrow. Hear him. Hear him. And live. Now I have two messages on this cassette tape, Justified by Faith, and this one from Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. You can get this tape by sending $2. We'll mail it right back to you when we get your letter. $2. Ask for this message delivered on this date or Isaiah 50 or Justified by Faith, and let us send them to you. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.